Dan and Rand and Jay will share tales of folks so unaware they lack in grace and sometimes choose the life they choose will make the news. Breaking down each epic fail in Florida, there's half-price bail. I'm happy to say they
couldn't make this up.
So listen to our podcast jam with co-host Arm and Dan. Bender, don't be a jerk, cause when the music hits, the funny hits, and we are gonna take you down.
Stick around, make a sound, hunker down, it's Dumb People Town.
All right, everybody. Welcome to Dumb People Town, episode number 2. We're so psyched that we're off and running in this universe here at Feral Audio. These guys are great. Everyone who's been listening, thank you so much. Thank you to those who subscribed to this new feed. Thank you to everybody who left a review, who rated it. The people who rated it lowly. Thank you for our guest today understands and the importance of rating a podcast and leaving a review, as like it became part of the lore of his very, very, very funny and just
special podcast.
Beloved special podcast, The Crab Feast, along with our friend Jay Larson. Ryan Sickler is with us. What's up, Sickler?
How he's doing today?
You guys good, hon?
He's good, hon.
I promise not to do that.
But it's your best. That's Baltimore, hon.
It's great to be here. Thank you guys for having me. Congrats on the new show.
Thank you.
This place is fantastic.
Yeah, the digs here are kind of cool, aren't
fantastic.
They?
Fantastic.
I just love we did something. What's interesting and just in the idea of how this show came about, because I don't know if everybody knows like the whole story. You know, I think when we had started off initially doing the show, doing Scarborough Country, we were doing the show and there was a need and a desire to do more than one a week.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were just not sure how we could do Scarborough Country 2 times in 1 week. It's a lot to do that. It's also just sports. Like, we knew we were kind of cutting off some people who were like, a sports guy. I don't necessarily love sports. I like comedy. And then when we met Dan, we're like, well, here's an opportunity to maybe do a different show with and co-host it, you know, have Dan co-host it with us. Daniel Van Kirk, how are you, buddy?
I'm good, my man.
Great to see you. And have it be different and have it be more encompassing of everything. Yet I think one of our missteps is that we just called it Scarborough County, wanting it to be under the same umbrella as Scarborough Country. And I think it might have confused people. People might have thought that it was about sports because it's the same logo. And that's something we realized, because there is no sort of roadmap for how to do podcasting and multiple podcasts and all that stuff. Something we figured out years later. And so as we separated this and separated the feed from Scarborough Country to a new thing and just figured out new stuff and how do we make it different, added the theme music with Matt Krakow, who did all the theme songs and jingles from Cheap Seats, just to keep it within our family. This feels really right. And I hope it feels that way for you, Dan, as well. Dumb People Town
evolves. I'm very happy to be here.
Would it be Dumb People Town evolves or devolves?
It devolves.
I think it devolves. Definitely. There's no evolution going on.
Sickler, like, this is you and Jay. That's not the first incarnation of the Crab Feast, right?
Mm-mm.
Different.
Things grow and change.
Yeah. It was Matt Folcheron and I, and then like two of his buddies. And then Matt moved to New York, mm-hmm. and we had phone calls at first. We had movie reviews. And then when Matt left, I just wanted to focus on the stories.
Because the stories are the best. So people come in and tell stories on the Crab Feast, and it literally informs your stand-up and Jay Larson's stand-up. And it, for a lot of people, I'm sure comedians who come on and tell the story, whatever that is, might not be a story they're doing in their act. When they come out of there, they might be thinking, okay, I could probably tell this on stage.
Oh, I tell a story. I've closed sets with one of the stories I've told on the show.
I can't tell you how many comics have said that they had their closer from. Rory had one for his.
Special.
Which
Rory
makes me feel good. I have.
Gilmore Girls?
No, yep. Rory Scovel.
Unfamiliar.
No, Gilmore Girls.
Rory Cochran.
Yeah, Rory Cochran from Days and Confused and Empire Records.
So yeah, when we first started, it was stories. It was a lot of different things, which were all fun and funny. But then I just saw that if we let people come in and tell stories, you know,
and where, you guys punch them up,
where it would go. That's, I mean,
that's the joy.
There's nothing more fun than sitting in the cheap seat.
Yeah, that's it. Well, what I love about it is that, and that has sort of, you know, we watched you do stand up recently when we came and did your show, the Crab Feast Live. That was one of those nights where Randy and I were like, I think I got there late. You got there late. We were just not feeling like we could get up and do. And we watched Jay do a set. We watched Jay first, and then we went, and then you went, I think. Was that the order? I remember watching Jay thinking like, oh, man, I don't think we got it. I don't think we have it. And then this is a testament to your audience. Your audience was so good. They gave us so much energy back for what we were doing. It made me love what we were doing. I don't know, you know that moment where you're maybe not sure of what you're doing and then the audience lifts you up?
Yeah.
which doesn't always happen.
It doesn't.
But that's
and in your defense
to
also, the show prior to that happened to be on election night and it got canceled.
That's right. We were supposed to do that one.
All of them were almost ghosts.
We were supposed to do that one.
That one we ended up had to cancel it because there was just no one there. Because
everyone was mourning.
Right, mourning. Election
day,
I should say. It wasn't results. It was vote.
Right.
Get out and vote day.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But
but yeah, that show, that stand-up show at the Comedy Store was great. You guys killed it. You killed it.
It was
That's
really
what I'm
special.
Saying
it,
yeah.
But you told a story in there that you were like, all right, I want this. I think this is really funny. And as you started to go into it, this is what I love. Like, you and Jay both, Jay Larson, when you go into an idea or a concept for something, you guys are very... Each of you individually care very much about the concept of what you're about to present and the premise that you're kind of going out to. And I feel like that is, it's hard to find original premises these days because it just is, I think it's difficult. It's almost like trying to build a new skyscraper in Manhattan. All the area has already been, you know, you got to knock something down or you got to build a tiny one that's really in a very specific spot. So it is amazing. And you were talking about choosing your path to dying, like if you were going to die, and we were just outside here, and you told a great story that you told on Dan's other podcast. You just told us a story about the last photo ever taken of your father who passed away far too young. You were in high school at the time. So, you know, death is on the mind. If your dad passed away early, it's in genes.
It's part of your life.
It's part of your life. You think about it from time to time. So it's something you were thinking about, and you're like, how would I die if I could die? And that's how you started this story, and I'm going to ask you to just tell a little bit of it because I think it is such a great idea, and it had us laughing like crazy in the back.
Well, I also, it was heightened at the time, too, because between October 2015, which is when I became a single dad, and March of 2016, I was in and out of the hospital 5 times.
With?
Just first, dropping stuff off.
Just donating.
Candy striping.
Like
hey, guys, you got a show coming up?
Hey, they got a cafeteria.
I mean, talking about biscuits and gravy.
So it started with kidney stones, which was awful.
Awful.
And then, unbeknownst to me, they were giving me painkillers and all these things, and also, like, not to sound like a terribly old man, but I am middle-aged, I guess, at this point, but Flomax. Because they wanted me to pee the stone out so they could tell me what's in my diet and how to change
it. That's right.
Well, all of the pain meds and the Flomax, and I mean, I don't know if you've ever been on Flomax.
Mm-mm.
Every 15 minutes, you're just like, where is this? You have time to think about it and say out loud, where is this coming from?
This water.
Like, it's not just, it's tons.
Right.
So, side effect, it ends up drying me out completely, and my legs start clotting, both of them. So I have to go in for this. They start studying me. They're telling me that I might have leukemia, lymphoma. They're testing me for everything, and I'm freaking the fuck out.
Of course, yeah. Understandable.
And the wait to find out about this
is the worst.
It's 2 weeks. Also,
no.
It's 2 weeks.
Go up and do some comedy during that.
That's what I was podcasting during it and doing comedy during it. I'm like, it's the only thing really
that could keep you from losing your mind.
That's it. You laugh so you don't cry because there was plenty of that.
But that's your weapon against it. Is like, I'm going to now talk about this so I can take it back.
Ugh. So naturally, and ends up, I found out I have this blood disorder called Factor V, where my blood is just genetically thicker.
My favorite Joe Rogan show.
And they... that they were drying me out and clotting me, unbeknownst until they figured out all these tests and everything. So
you got to be on a blood thinner.
They put me on a blood thinner to right the ship, and now I'm off. If it ever happens again, I do. And then it's funny because they're like, you need to tell your brothers to get tested. This is genetic. And my younger brother doesn't have it. But my doctor and his doctor in two different states said the exact same thing. If you have to be on blood thinners in your 40s, quote, it's not good.
Wow.
Like, they said it the same way. And wow. I was like, that's just basically not good.
No. Anyway.
So it's freshly on my mind.
Yeah, thinking about it.
And also during that, March is when I turned 43. I just outlived my father. My father died like a week before his 43rd birthday. So I'm also having these just crazy chest pains. They couldn't figure out what it was. And
it's it might have been March Madness.
To be fair, those early round games, you were in like six brackets.
You know, when like
I tell you, it's
Mercer beat Duke.
Every year,
Dayton game comes up, and you're just like, damn, these guys are giant killers.
Flyers.
So yeah, I'm going through all, and I'm in and out, and
which is a problem because you shouldn't be eating an In-N-Out burger when you're having that kind of chest.
Right. It hurt. Uh-huh. But the oncologist gives me his personal cell phone number, and I'm like, this is your, he's like, call me if you have, and I told him, I was like, I just want you to know if anybody ever asks, right now, this is the scaredest I've ever been in my entire life. This is your personal cell, and you're telling me I could call you on Saturday or Sunday? Yeah, yeah. He's like, yup. So yeah, it's fresh in my mind, and I'm like, fuck that. I don't want to die at 43. I don't want to go out on these terms either.
No.
And it just started me thinking like, what if you could? What if they just said, listen,
you pick the date.
Here's how old you're going to be when it happens. We're going to pick the date. You get to pick how it happens. If they're like,
great.
Listen, I'm sorry to tell you.
By the way, who's telling you this?
It's going to be 72 years old.
72.
I don't know. They.
It's they.
They.
It's like a board of death.
You're going to get to 72.
Uh-huh.
And you have to deal with that. But
it's like Morgan Freeman. And your high school guidance counselor. Just both telling you 72.
If you get 72 years old and it's not going to be mangled in a car wreck or, you know what
unless
I mean?
You
or cancer or whatever. Unless you choose that. It's a blank slate. You go. You can do the fantasy of dying in your sleep. You can do whatever you want to
do. It's up to you.
And then that, of course, starts me thinking like, well, you know, there are so many ways people have died. It's a lot of them, unfortunately, with cancer, heart attacks.
Yep. Like, yep.
I would pick an original way to go out.
You're a comedian. And as like, a comedian, we value original thought.
Uh-huh. And also, you said, it's so hard to come up with an original thought.
That's right.
So I thought, you know what? There's only, and I started thinking about, obviously, more and more death and like all the things I saw. And I've always had this idea about this fucking, I think it was a seagull.
Yeah,
that it was. That got killed by Randy Johnson in a spring training game.
Yeah, he threw He threw about 97, 98 miles per hour. He was a 6'9" pitcher.
6'11".
I think 6'9".
6'10".
We'll go 10.
Fine. And I was on a plane the other day looking over the shoulder of the person in front of me who was watching a YouTube video of like the craziest sports moments of all time. And that was one of them.
Of course.
Where you see Randy Johnson rear back to pitch, he throws, a bird flies right in the path of a fastball.
From right to left.
And then there's like an explosion of feathers right there, and the ball never gets to the plate.
Ball just duds off here, and so does the bird.
Yeah, it's done. Done.
And it just started me thinking about like, think of how many, let's just do math on this. Think of how many birds have existed on this rock in outer space.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
How many of them have died by a Randy Johnson fastball?
One.
That one.
One.
That one.
Most original way to go.
It's the most original way to go in the history of death on this planet.
You just want to be aimlessly walking by the mound, in between the mound and home plate.
I would make myself a bird. You get to do whatever the fuck you want.
I'm a
seagull. And then I just started riffing off of like
your conversation with the other birds around you
because it's spring training. Like, well, come on, man, why can't we go do this in the regular season, man?
Yeah.
Do that? Nah, man. I'm
I'm not flying all the way back to Seattle, man. We're in Sarasota right now. I'm going to wrap this shit up right now.
Because you haven't even flown north again.
Yeah, yeah, you got to go
you're
back.
You're in your last weeks of being like, down south.
Nah, man, it's warm down here. I'm going out like this.
I'm going out on vacation.
I'm not flying all the way back to Seattle to die. Fuck
the
that.
Flight back to Seattle. He's like, that's too depressing for me.
I'll be thinking about it the whole way.
Yeah.
Yep.
I could have just done it right there, goddamn.
Now he's fucking. Now his elbow's hurting. He's off another 3 days.
Right. What if he's Jesus Christ. What if he's injured? You know how they, and just the idea of a seagull talking to other seagulls saying, you know how unpredictable the pitching rotation
Come
can
on,
be in
man.
This
Randy's
day and age.
Getting up there now. No, he could be on the DL for 2 weeks. What am I going to fucking do?
That got postponed. It. I love it. I just loved it.
I sincerely appreciate that.
Oh, man,
you.
I love that. And again,
I came and asked you guys after. I'm like, what do you think? How the fuck do you think I should
loved,
get into this?
Loved, and I think you got into it in the most honest and truthful way. And it's why you attack all the stories like that, which is why I'm so glad you're on this podcast with us, because for those who are just joining us anew, this is what we do. We get three stories that either we find, Dan finds, usually our fans find them, mm-hmm. and tweet.
Send them to Dan.
Tweet at Daniel Van Kirk. Tweet at Sklar Brothers. Hashtag Dumb People Town, or at Dumb People Town as well. And just, you can send us links to the stories, and then we'll give you credit on the air. And then the four of us treat it like it's a writer's room. We try and get inside the heads of the people who do the crazy and stupid things they do and try and figure out why they did what they did. And it is a blast. And Daniel, we've got a story, do we not, to kick things off.
This was sent in by Dano at Yeah Muffins. Mm-hmm. Three H's in that yeah. At Yeah Muffins. Richmond, Virginia.
Wow. So we're kind of in
Baltimore.
Near Baltimore.
DMV. We're in the DMV. What began as a spontaneous trip to the store ended up being one of the most bizarre experiences of Ricky Berry's life.
Ricky Berry.
Both end in a Y, by
the
way. Yeah, yeah. Our NASCAR family.
Yeah. That was,
the Ballad of Ricky Berry.
This is a guy who, if, and I don't know what happened at this store, and we're going to find out, but if that's one of the most bizarre experiences of his life, then I don't know if he's lived a big enough life.
We'll wait till you hear.
He and his roommate went to purchase a grocery store item and ended up having the police called on them.
So
too many people going for one thing.
So what was the old Paul Reiser bit? Like the old Paul Reiser bit of like how like you see couples if it's a new couple in line at the movies, they're both going together to go buy the tickets. And like married couple, it's like you're kicking out of the car. Go, you go over there. You go over there. I'll meet you in the thing. But like when you're new, like you waste so much time.
These guys are new roommates.
Gotta all both go to the store.
Let's go to the store and pick up the thing.
Ricky and his roommate told 8 News they walked into the CVS in Carytown and asked an employee...
Ricky Berry in Carytown?
Yeah. Sounds like a children's book. We asked an employee...
And he's like a raspberry?
If they sold sliced cheese. You guys sell sliced cheese?
By the way, if you're going for sliced cheese, screw the farmer's market. Go to a drugstore.
You want a grilled cheese real bad.
Yeah. Go to the place you get nail polish remover.
Yeah. Go to the place
for your you buy your cheese. Razor blade.
How high is this kid?
Right?
You got to go with me, man. You got to go with me. We got to go to CVS.
Get some sliced cheese.
Why do I have to go?
And by the way, I'm sure the CVS has like... you know, like a block of cheese.
I'm sure they have good quality items. If they want to sponsor Dumb People Town, get all everything you need at CVS.
Oh my God. Sure. One-stop shop.
The worker kindly replied, they did not.
Of course they did not.
A few minutes later, really, I think a CVS would have sliced cheese.
No, they
cheese.
Have like milk and stuff.
Twizzlers and...
I don't know. I would have gone with CVS having sliced cheese.
You know what? I'm going to be for the
in
next
their
week...
their little deli section.
For next week, I'm going to be staying in a place...
Try the CVS salad bar?
It's back by the log box!
Across the street from the CVS, and I'm going to look for you guys. And you know what a love clock it is, right? You're picturing the white one, the small white one, with the red numbers on this packaging.
Oh, that's right.
Over by the coloring books? Well, have you been to our...
Right next to the Assures. Having a shirt.
Right by the diabetes socks. Right by the... Yeah. Yeah.
No, we moved them. They're by the self blood pressure thing.
Have you seen our Olive Bar? It's over by the greeting.
No, you guys
cards.
Are wrong. We restocked last week. You all were off. They're in the As Seen on TV aisle. By the cassettes.
Right there by that John Denver cassette. Right there. He's in
Mark down Halloween items.
It's an instrumental clarinet of John Denver songs.
The picnic umbrellas.
By the sitz bath over there. By the sitz bath.
The Halloween candy we're still trying to sell.
The guy can't.
The worker kindly replied, they did not. A few minutes later, the employee, all of the store employees, in fact, were nowhere to be found. Barry and his roommate, Philip Blackwell, sounds like the villain of the children's book, yeah. Said they were in the store with another customer for more than 30 minutes alone before an officer with the Richmond Police Department showed up. So they...
Guys.
Do you guys have sliced cheese?
You and I walk into a CVS.
To pick up
we
some
ask Randy,
cheese.
Do you sell sliced cheese? He says,
no, we do not. He leaves.
Then Randy disappears.
Hang on a second.
As well.
Carrytown CVS doesn't carry sliced cheese.
You're telling me that?
Yeah. That's what's happening right now?
He then disappears along with everyone in the store. Then we find Jason, and for 30 minutes, we're the only people in this store.
The three of us.
Yes.
A ghost store.
I would tell you guys, right, that if you had to be anywhere, I would tell you we are not leaving the CVS until we find out what happened to everybody inside this store.
I'm grabbing anything I can
total
on the way
zombie
out and
action happen.
I'm grabbing stuff and leaving.
Usually, Ryan, if I'm with these guys and something happens that I want to go check out, or I tell them a story about a time where I had to look into something, or I told a guy who may or may not have had a knife to go fuck himself, they look at me and they just go, Dan,
get out.
Dan, you can't. There's things you cannot be doing in life.
Walk away from. We need you too much.
They would be like, we have to go. We do not want to know what happened to these people.
I don't care. Like, right. I don't need to know where these people are.
And I'd be like, we are not leaving this store until we find the sliced cheese, because you know they have it.
And what happened to these 30 people?
Yes. So for 30 minutes, they're alone in this store. Quote, we looked around for probably 30 to 45 minutes. We couldn't find anybody, mm-mm. Philip Blackwell said. Mm-hmm. As for the third customer, who says he was as confused as the two roommates, quote, he was in the store before we were. He had a bad tooth, and all he wanted was some Orajel. That's all he needed, quote.
Orajel.
We were walking around trying to find an employee, and the cop himself ended up. So now, 30 minutes, you've been in a CVS with no one.
Back there by the eggs and cream.
The Orajel. I see Orajel and sliced cheese. That's all I see.
You think it would be in the oral section, but it's not.
There.
It's all nine.
Pass the lactate.
You know, over by the Ace bandages.
You're going to see it, right? You're going to find the Orajel just past the sliced cheese.
Aisle 10, light bulbs, batteries, sliced cheese, wrapping paper.
Oh, there's the sliced cheese.
There it is, right by the extension cords.
Right by the light bulbs.
Brooms, mops.
So these two guys walk around with a guy with a bad tooth looking for 45 minutes for somebody's store, and then a cop walks in.
Uh-huh. So now there's four people in the store.
Right, yes.
Exactly. All
right. We were walking around trying to phone the employee. A cop himself ended up opening up the emergency door, which set off the alarm. A couple of minutes later, he got a call from the alarm company asking what was going on. So the officer joined in on the search for the missing employees. Barry.
This is like Stranger Things,
yes.
Like season two.
He recorded a video on his Snapchat account of what happened next. He was laughing with us. Barry's referring to the cop.
Yeah,
right? Yeah.
And he probably all dead.
All dead. We all got killed by Randy Johnson fastballs.
He was laughing with us. Like, how weird is this? This is how apocalypse movies start.
Apocalypse.
Oh, yep. That's my favorite
apocalypse.
Movie.
Apocalypse movies start.
That's one of my favorite Marlon Brando movies. Apocalypse Now.
Apocalypse Now
is great. Great film. That's how it started, too.
It did,
in a CVS.
Apocalypto is my favorite Mel Gibson movie. Eventually, the employees were found in the back of the store, hiding in a locked room. After making a few calls, the officers told the customers they had to leave.
What?
Wait, yes. Hold on.
I don't understand.
Who made
what's
a few
happening.
Calls? Yeah, I'm lost, too. Wrap that up again there.
The employees were found in the back of the store hiding in a locked room. After
30 people.
No.
Three people.
Three people.
I don't know.
I don't know where I got the zero.
30 minutes. All right.
67 employees inside this
in one tiny locker.
After making a few calls, the officer told the customers they had to leave.
So the cop made calls.
Yeah, to me, all cops are from Chicago. So right. I just picture him being like, "All right, guys, here's the deal. I talked to the people. They're hidden in this back room. You guys gotta go.
You guys gotta get out. They can't
like the dude holding
you.
His tooth. These guys high as kites, wanting sliced cheese.
Right. I know.
I'm sorry, guys. Okay, I don't know what they're in the back room right now.
Everything you're looking for is gotta go.
Gotta happen here.
Go down the street to Rite Aid.
In one of the videos recorded, Barry said, "We're being kicked out because they were scared of us and hiding."
That is unreal.
So they asked for cheese, and then for some reason, the police thought this was code for they're going to rob us, and they all go and hide. If you're the manager of this store.
Who's high? The employees or these people?
Exactly.
Exactly.
Because that's high behavior.
What did I say?
What have I always said? One of the scariest moments of my life was getting gas on
this
Okeechobee Boulevard
in Florida,
and three cracked out dudes came up my way and like were walking right towards me as I'm getting the gas, and I walked.
Have been walking towards the gas station, but right towards.
No, but if you were high, you create an. I remember we were at the Wilco concert. We went to see Wilco for Yankee Hotel Foxtrot back at the Ford Theater outside, and we were so high, and we. There was a guy in front of us. He looked like he was about 19 years old, and he was definitely on the spectrum. Like, you know, like screaming and yelling when everyone else was like, okay, we don't need to scream for camera. You know, like it's kind of a lower key song, but he was up in it. But we were loving his enthusiasm.
Pitchfork motherfuckers over here.
Loving his enthusiasm for it. But I'm like, this might be the first concert this guy's ever seen. He was like, probably like 22, 23, but like so much energy that it felt weird. And I felt like something's wrong with him. And I start looking around and I see an older guy about two rows back and an Asian woman, like now in like they're like 50s, and they're kind of looking towards him, but towards the stage. And in my mind, he was their kid. They met in Vietnam. Like he was he went against
little
his
Vietnam
parents' wishes,
man,
and he married a Vietnamese woman.
But he left and he had to go back and get her.
Well, no, and they said
they had a child on the spectrum, and his parents said,
see,
this is what happened.
I told you shouldn't go to Vietnam and have a baby because you have it and the baby's going to be messed up.
Jay, how long were you out of the concert? four or five songs.
So then they're like, we're going to go to the concert. We're going to sit two rows behind him, let him see his first concert ever, and just let him see how he does. And he was having so much fun. And they were like, he's having so much fun. And they were saying to each other the whole time, see, he can be part of society. That's the narrative you have. None of those people were connected.
They must have been scary as all get out. Although the security guard didn't. No, all right, so.
They're just two young African-American guys going into a grocery store trying to get some racism.
Okay.
It could be that. Or they are. I mean, middle of the night at a CVS, I'm not blaming them if they're all high working there.
Yeah, that's true. They probably
stock those shelves.
All right, so come in. Do you have sliced cheese? No.
No.
Guys, run.
Guys,
they're asking for things we don't provide.
Run. Leave it all.
Leave it.
He just told us we need to leave the premises or else we'd be arrested for trespassing, and that flipped the script on all of us, Barry told the 8 News reporter Jonathan Costin. Mm-hmm. We had no idea what was going on. Barry said the officer was kind and just doing what he was told to do. So I imagine the cop being like,
hey, man, listen, I don't care if you're here or not. I don't think there's
these fucking idiot kids in the storage room. They're not going to leave the room until you guys go.
You guys got to go.
Let's get out of here.
I'll take you to go get some sliced cheese. Let's go. What's wrong with your tooth, bub?
I got some sliced Vardy in the back of the car.
Multiple attempts to contact the store manager were denied, although a CVS spokesperson apologized and said the employee who called the police will be interviewed and possibly retrained.
Oh. Yeah, that's like Sully McCullough's old bit. We've talked about that.
Yeah. You can't get
fired from McDonald's. You can't get fired from CVS.
Stab
the manager, and the guy's like, oh, man, you cut me. This is Sully's joke. You cut me real deep, man, but I need you on that fry station.
Head
on over there, man.
If someone asks you, do we have something we don't have, they're not trying to rob the store.
They're not trying to rob the store.
You weren't there. You weren't there, Carrie.
You didn't see it.
Yeah.
All right. First story down in the book. First segment down with the great Ryan Sickler. We'll be back with more Dumb People Town, more stories, and a special voicemail coming up right after this.
Stick around, make a sound for more Dumb People Town.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Dumb People Town. Follow at Sklar Brothers, follow at Daniel Van Kirk. Definitely follow at Dumb People Town. Tell two friends about this show. That's the way we grow it. And if you haven't listened to the Crab Feast, do yourself a favor and subscribe to that podcast. It's one of the best.
I've been on it four times. I'd say listen to two of those.
we've been on it once and we loved it. It was really special.
You guys need to come back. Yeah, come back. And tell our fans as well about this.
We would love to. It's really
a shout out you want to give out, Ryan? Do you want to shout out to anybody? I started a thing on the Crab Feast where I shouted out to Bradford, and like 240 people. Because my idea was get somebody who doesn't have a lot of Twitter followers and just have them wake up one day. And like, what the hell happened?
How did this happen?
Brad woke up one morning and because of the Crab Feast, his Twitter mentions just were like, and Brad, nobody follows Brad.
He's a wonderful dude.
He's on Twitter because he just likes reading it and stuff like that.
He's an unassuming
and
dude.
He texts me, he's like, I didn't know what happened. And the feasters hit him up like over 200 times a day. And he'll still get people listening to old episodes.
Now you just shout out to people.
Because, you know, a podcast, people might listen to an episode in 6 months and be like, I'll tweet at this guy.
Yeah. They're all respectful. Like, some people put their sister out there and it's that no one's been gross or anything.
That's so funny.
It's so
funny. I'll give Andy Girt one. A-N-D-Y-G-I-R-T at Andy Girt. Hit him up.
Hit him up on Twitter.
Dumb People Town.
He's a diehard feaster.
Nice.
Andy Girt.
Andy Girt.
I love it, too. You guys did a tour with the Crab Feast, right?
Yeah, we did.
But it was all stand-up. You didn't do podcasts.
No, we did a stand-up tour based off the podcast. We did 11 cities.
How
one
did that
night
go?
It went great.
What were some of your best cities that you were in?
Well, Boston and Baltimore, both for each of us, obviously.
I heard St. Louis and Chicago were...
St. Louis and Chicago were insane.
We never talked.
Most banged up.
I don't know if we ever talked about it, but you hit me up and you were like, hey, when you get a chance, whenever, no rush, call me back.
Yeah,
you need to know what happened in Chicago.
I wish I could remember the girl's name. She's so sweet and nice, and I apologize if you're listening. But she brought two friends, a couple, a guy and a girl, with her to the show we did. And afterwards, she came up and she introduced herself, and she said, I have to tell you this crazy thing. So the couple owns an Airbnb in Chicago. Well, yours truly, Daniel Van Kirk over here, stayed at their Airbnb. And she is such a fan of the Crab Feast and him that when they said, oh, yeah, you know, they were casually just, you know, she's like, oh, so who's renting this week? And they're like, oh, some comedian's in town. His name's Daniel Van Kirk. She's like, what? He said, Daniel Van Kirk. She's like, shut up. From the Crab Feast? And they're like, what? And then they said you were the nicest guy. And I think they even said you left them tickets and put them on the list or whatever.
I was doing a show at my show at North Bar that weekend.
Yeah,
which St. Louis and Chicago people got after it.
Oh, man. They're the
great.
And just, we were lucky because we had...
We tweeted it out to our St. Louis peeps to come out to the show.
You did, thank you. That place was packed.
Where was it? What'd you do?
Blueberry Hill?
We did Blueberry Hill, yeah.
That's great.
That's my second time there. I love that venue.
Downstairs.
And then we did Chicago, yeah.
Where'd you do in Chicago?
Chicago, we did the Hi-Hat, which seats like just little small ones. We did 100, but we sold out both of them. And it was lucky for us because the Cubs are in the World Series, and they told us, like, look, you're pre-sold and you're going to get your money. Basically, if the Cubs are playing that day, you're going to get White Sox fans, and that's it.
Right.
But it ended up falling on a Friday, which ended up being a travel day, luckily for us.
So
it was cool to be there with the city. It was just so...
Buzzing.
Oh, it's great. I love being around that energy. And then we just drove down to St. Louis, and that was great. And then...
11 cities. That's just
like... Yeah, we did.
It speaks to the do-it-yourself attitude that podcasts have that just, you know, you guys just, you put it out there. You reach to your fans, said, we're going to do this tour. And was it success? Was it a successful tour monetarily for you guys?
Very.
Great.
Very. Yeah, we did very well.
Awesome.
Baltimore, Boston, San Francisco was a great one.
Did you guys do a show on election night?
We did. Which was...
Is that New York?
Not only that, yeah, we were Caroline in Times Square, and to walk out and see, like all the people there, like it's New Year's Eve, and the billboards, all digital with Trump on there and Hillary on there. And every time they showed one move a certain way, this crowd cheer, and this one, this crowd cheer, and it was packed. Wow. And we just walked out into that. But just, the entire time, not one fan. We didn't either. No one. We didn't talk about it.
I do think that that night at midnight when Ryan Seacrest balls dropped, everyone cheered, was really maybe one of the greatest.
No, but it is kind of, people probably wanted the distraction of going to do something else, because then nothing was going to be solved in the hours that you did the show. Like, nothing. Let's just.
What's the point?
What's
and
the
you
point?
Had good show, you had a good show there.
Great show there. Awesome. And then the next night was in Philly. And it was a rainy day, and the totally election was rainy. Over at this point, and I get into the Uber, and the guy just says to me, he goes, weird day, huh? And I was like, man, you fucking said it.
Nailed
what
it.
What a weird day.
Weird day.
But yeah,
weird for Philly.
It was great. Denver, we ended up in Denver. All of them. Every one of them was great. And the fans line up, and they're so nice, and I don't say that to brag or anything, but I just mean they're polite. They take pictures for each other. Like, we have really good fucking fans.
You do.
I mean, we're fortunate. We have. It's, I say all the time, it's like when your kids go spend the night and the parents come over and go, hey, your kid's really good.
Yeah. Makes you feel really great.
It's nice. It's nice not to have a bunch of scumbags out there and people like, your guys' fans suck.
Yeah. No, it is good that your fans are good. And so are ours. And,
yeah.
And I hope that I'm great. Glad we brought a lot of them over from Scarborough.
It's so much fun when you hit the stage when we do a show.
We were in Oklahoma.
We're doing a stand up show and somebody yells out Henderson. Or I went into my bit about my bag in Midway Airport, and somebody just yelled out, Michael Kissick!
I heard that in Oklahoma.
Yelling a character that I do. That character works at Midway Airport. And that was like, good on you, man.
Yeah, that's awesome. Then you're playing on a home field, right?
Yeah,
there.
Yeah.
Doesn't that give you that feeling of playing on the home field? It's awesome. Just great.
Well, see, that was the first time for me. That was the thing. This is the first time for me. I haven't gone to do stand-up where some people know who I am and the rest don't. These people, other than it was the flipped. If they brought a friend or someone who didn't know,
that's right.
They didn't. But
the majority
else,
were there for you guys. Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. Well, listen, if that ever plays live, just check it out. And check out the Crab Feast podcast. You guys will love it. Rate that. Review that. Fuck the Crab Feast. Explain that. Five stars.
Jay and I have different memories of this, but I'm right.
I agree.
Thank you, man. We were saying early on, like, you know, people kept saying, how can we help? How can we help? We're like, well, spread the word, and then it would help to go to iTunes, give us a rating, give us a 5-star rating.
We're asking you guys to do this for Dumb People Town right now.
And
it's crucial to the growth of the show.
It's crucial. It helps you grow, move up the charts and all that. And because if you're, look, I was a huge Howard Stern fan in high school, and I bought the books and I saw the movies, but I'm not the guy that's going to email or do. I'm not. You know what I mean? Right. I'm just not that guy. But for that, if that existed back then, I would do that.
You would do that.
Our fans did that. And I said, write whatever the fuck you want. You know,
you can say fuck the Crab Feast if you want.
Yeah, we were like, just say, you know. And then I think it was something like, I was like, you know, don't be like, you know, fuck the Crab Feast. 5 stars. As long as you hit it with 5 stars, I don't care. And it evolved, and people just shit on us and shit on us, and they have a good time with it, and it's always a 5-star review.
I love it.
So what it ended up doing that I loved most was, for all the haters out there, you're not going to say anything worse than the people who love us have already said
to us. You can't beat me.
You can't beat us.
Yeah,
that's bulletproof. You can sit there and say whatever you want to say.
Right.
But the people that love us have said 10 times worse.
It's beautiful. All right, let's get into another story.
All right, here we go. Sent in by Josette Covington at Pure Josie, i.e., a South African husband.
Already starting off bad.
Already. I don't know anything about him, but I already don't like his politics.
I don't know what everyone's so mad about apartheid. I don't know why I gave him a Canadian accent.
Yeah. This is if you want to talk about dumb people, this guy, he's in the town.
A South African husband
who slipped his wedding ring over his penis, quote, for erotic reasons, had to have blood drained from his genitals after it swelled up and became trapped.
Oh, slipped it over his I mean, how small is
this? I was going to say,
how big are his fingers? Bigger his fingers?
You might have gigantic knuckles.
I wear my wedding ring on my thumb.
Honey, where's your wedding ring?
Oh, you'll know where it is. This is my, I mean,
that's even, a little
there's
thick.
No
And it's big. It's big. It's
like, I have huge knuckles.
I think you guys are trying to ring dick brag right now.
Oh, man. Jesus. Oh, man. How do you do that? That's Ringling Brothers.
It's...
by the way, Ringling Brothers, not anymore.
Yeah.
Not anymore.
They, you know, they ran that. Ringling they brother. Ran that place like a circus over there.
Just Randy at Sklar Brothers, guys.
Animals, animals.
I just, you know, run it like a business.
The man who lives in Johannesburg was taken to a hospital by his mother.
Wife wouldn't even do it.
She's you know like, why?
No, wife he probably lives with his fucking mom. So she was right there.
In severe pain after his penis turned blue.
Oh, God, it's hurting me to over here. It really is.
Little boy blue.
Do you think it was like, he was like, it was joyful. Like he was like, I'm fucking around.
Mom, my dick's blue. Because she won't help me. Because she won't help me.
Because
that's why you have to help.
She's looking at me. She's looking at me.
We're in your room. Because we wanted a bed for once.
Start the car.
For once.
For once. Look, research the kink before you do the kink. Yeah, you know what I mean?
He's got right. Look he's got it up. Now. He's got a kink in that dick.
Look, this is the rule.
Do you guys remember that old show, Emergency? Like, Emergency. It was an old...
Johnny Rampart.
Johnny Rampart. It was an old show about... paramedics and who worked at a fire department, but the AMS who would go and like it was a fascinating.
It's like around when Chips was around,
right? Yeah. It was kind of like Chips, but for paramedics. But every story, there was like a level of reality to what was going on, like a kid stuck in a sewer.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, what's this kid doing down there in a sewer?
This is that.
Like, I remember, like, we'd be playing baseball outside or with in the neighborhood, and a tennis ball would, like, go down the sewer, and I would not even come close because I'd be afraid I'd get stuck down in the sewer based on emergency. And, like, there was one where a kid had stuck his head through the bars of, like, the bars of a fence or a thing, and he was stuck. He couldn't get back through.
Mm-mm.
And they had to saw the things around it and this that came out, but just how they got the kid in there and all that other stuff was, it was like too real for a TV show. Everything else about the TV show seemed fake as shit. I'm like, that's not a real kitchen. That's
but they nailed that emergency.
they nailed the emergency. Things. So I imagine like they'd have to saw this thing off his
case
dick.
Of the blue penis.
Oh my God.
Or put butter on it or make it really, really cold.
I just cold water. Picture this guy with a limp dick thinking that I'll, babe, I'm going to have sex with you with my wedding ring on. Oof. And then his mom taking him. The wife's just done.
She's like, I'm not.
Maybe this was his last ditch effort.
You've got to calm down. You've got to calm. Just all the things they're trying to
He's
show
like,
him.
He's like, I can't help it. This is turning me on. The fear is turning me on.
We'll show you whatever. I don't know. Let's show him Schindler's List. Let's just.
Schindler's List.
Anything.
Oh, God.
Calm him down.
He later admitted running the ring up his penis on the recommendation of friends.
Those guys are not your friends.
They're not your friends.
Leaving it severely constricted in the middle section, according to the South African Medical Journal. Oof. The ring was left so tight against the swelling that doctors were unable to cut it off with a surgical saw, which means they tried.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Fuck!
Sickler. Instead, after sedating the agonized patient.
Can I say something real quick?
You can say something anytime.
I watched this video on Facebook. Have you seen it where the guy's got a wedding ring stuck and their finger looks bad?
They can't cut it
or anything. And this dude takes string and he wraps it up tight up against it and gets it just underneath and then he pops it and starts undoing it and the fucking ring slides right down and follows it. I can't figure out the science on it.
Really?
But that dude knew it was that, up.
It's like Dave Anthony's old joke. Phenomenal old joke. Friend of his, they were like, playing basketball, and you had to climb over a fence to get in and play basketball. And a friend of his was like had his wedding ring on his finger, and he was
caught on the fence.
Got caught on the top of the fence, and he went over, and it like ripped off his finger, ripped off like part of his finger on the fence.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
And he said, "The moral of this story is don't get married."
I
mean, great Dave Anthony joke. Great Dave Anthony joke.
Instead, after sedating the agonized patient, they were forced to puncture the organ to drain the stored blood. We're going to lift this up. Multiple puncture aspirations were applied with a 20 milliliter syringe and a pink needle.
He's sedated, though. He's out. He's out. So he's not feeling this.
Kidney stones. The swelling subsided, and the ring was successfully removed. The medical journal reported. The man from Limpopo province, 3 hours north of Johannesburg.
Right. Limpopo
province. I know. Was treated with antibiotics and anesthesia is what I thought. I don't know. He was discharged after 3 days. The medical journal said
it's the last time he'll discharge anything.
Yep. Right. Penile strangulation is a rarely described medical emergency, but occasionally occurs on a worldwide basis. It's been reported across all age groups, which makes me want to ask you guys,
how old
is this guy? Now, he's been married. Maybe he's newly married and thought this would be fun. Maybe he's been married a long time, trying to mix it up. Lives with his mom. She drove him to the hospital.
Too much fun leaves marks in life. Living hard, you'll pay the price. Who is gonna get it right? Guess the age. Guess the age.
All right. Okay. Sickler, you're the guest. I mean, from the facts, what do you think?
This is tough.
This is tough because it could go a lot of directions.
It could. I could see this being realistically almost of any decade.
Mom could live with him. Could be elderly mom back in with the family again.
Who can drive, but at this point it didn't matter.
Who gives a fuck? Right. My dick's blue. Yeah.
Right.
Get behind the wheel, mom.
Right.
No night driving, but get there.
I'm going to go.
I guessed it right last week. On the money.
I know.
Did you really?
Yeah, you got one right.
A couple weeks ago, when we were formerly a different show that wasn't as fun as this one is now, Jonah Carey hit it on the head. He goes, well, where do I get my medal? I go, give us your P.O. box.
He probably yelled at the radio. In his
I have
phone.
A number, but I'm second guessing myself. I'm going to go with the younger of the two. I'm going to go with 37.
37.
I was going to say, I won't say it because in case one of you guys want to say it.
I'm going to say 29.
29
is what I'm feeling. I was going to say 23. He should not have gotten married, and he shouldn't have done this.
I was going to say 46 originally, but 37. 37. I just feel like this is an older
29,
guy.
23.
22. Okay. 22. As always, this is horseshoes. You just got to be closest. I don't care if you're over or under.
This isn't The Price is Right.
28 years old.
Wow! Jason!
Yes!
Saturn returning. life is changing. Ring. Saturn's a ring situation.
There are no proper guidelines for treatment, and the academic journal advised that a doctor should decide on the best removal method depending on the case, the settings, and the available equipment.
I
think the moral of the story here is don't put a ring on your dick.
Yeah, right. He could tell people his dick is holy now.
Literally a dick ring.
I mean, he could have just been listening to Beyonce.
You mean a cock ring?
Beyonce at that point.
Yeah. She said that to him.
Yeah.
If you want to have sex with it, put a ring on it.
All right, guys. Segment two, down in the books. Ryan Sickler is here. We're going to come back with one more segment, short story, little voicemail, and stay with us. Dumb People Town rolls on.
Stick around. Make a sound for more Dumb People Town.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Dumb People Town. Subscribe, tell two friends. Feral audio.
Rate it,
leave a review. These things help us out. Follow at Dumb People Town on Twitter. Follow us, we're at Sklar Brothers.
And hey, if you're new to Feral Audio, they have a lot of awesome shows on this network should check out.
My Favorite Murder, Harmontown, Call Chelsea Peretti, Doug Pound Show, just great.
I think Bronger's got a show coming out on here, or if it's not.
Duncan Trussell Family Hour.
Just tool around the site. It's really awesome.
It'll hopefully introduce our listeners into the wonderful world of Feral, because that's what's great about this, is that they'll be introducing a bunch of their people to us, and we'll do the same for them. I want to mention shooting our CISO special in Chicago, Lincoln Hall, Saturday, February 11th.
Two shows.
Tickets are not expensive. I think they're $15. You can get them through the Lincoln Hall site, or you can get them through our website. Just tool around and find it on there. Dan Van Kirk is going to be featuring for us.
Yep.
So it is this group of people doing the thing. And
it's going to be so much fun.
It is going to be so much fun.
And do that for Valentine's Day.
We are, yeah, let make that be your Valentine's Day plan. It is going to be a blast. The room is not that big. So if you're thinking about getting tickets, I would get them now.
Yeah,
you
do not
want to
get out.
It's going to sell out, and we just don't want people to get shut out. There might only be like 250 tickets or 225 per.
Because they got to put cameras in there.
They got to put cameras in there. So this is what we're going to urge to our fans. Please get your tickets now. We'd love to see you. And then we have a bunch of dates coming up. Our site was down for a little bit.
It's
we switched names, but it's back up. We're in March. We're going to be in Hilarities in Cleveland. We've never done a full weekend there. I love that club. Nick, the guy who runs that club, is awesome. 2 weeks later, we're in Portland, Oregon. We haven't been there in a while. We're going to be doing the Helium Comedy Club there. We're going back to Moon Tower. We're going to do Live Dumb People Town there. We're going to do Headline there. We're doing the ping pong tournament. All that stuff is happening in April. And then it looks like we're going to try and find another date to get back to Lexington, Kentucky. So we have lots of stuff and dates and clubs and shows coming up. So just check our website, supersclouds.com, to check that out. And let's get into the last story. Shall we not do that?
Sickle, you got any dates coming?
No.
Just local you're hanging
stuff.
Around.
Just
good.
Local.
Yeah, well, you're busy. You're producing a show for Comedy Central.
Josh Adam Meyer's show. Yeah, the Comedy Jam.
Nice.
Comedy Central.
Goddamn Comedy Jam.
You guys have done show. Twice?
Done it twice. Yeah. We did Morrissey. Did the Smiths. Did
Bowie,
the Smiths. Boy with the Thorn in His Side. And then we did Bowie right after Bowie died.
Yeah.
We did Moon Age Daydream, which was
really?
A blast.
Yeah,
it was so fun to do. We do that at Moon Tower.
Yep.
And I guess if they're coming back to Moon Tower,
they
I don't know
are.
If they're going to be there, but we'll probably hopefully do
get
one on that
ready.
Show too.
Get
I
a
song think
ready.
Creed Higher is what we want.
Well, Bert Kreischer did that. Did Kreischer did that?
He did.
He did it. So we can't.
Maybe
we'll
come
up with a different one.
We'll think of another one.
We'll get there. Yeah. Any suggestions you guys have, let us know what song you'd like for us to sing.
Oh, that'd be fun. All right, sent in by Justin P. at Plak Hui.
I love Plak Hui. He great. Follow someone we follow on
I Twitter. Could read you just the first sentence of this story. It'd probably be enough. A single mom of two claims she beats the flu by drinking sperm smoothies.
What?
How do you find out that that works?
Trial and error.
Her name is... Tracy Kiss.
Ooh. Of course it is.
Because you're Kiss, 29, of Buckinghamshire,
That's,
England.
Sounds too proper.
Puts
almost.
A spoonful of her best friend's donated semen into her drink every morning in a bid to boost
that was what
her
Mary Poppins
immunity.
Said. A spoonful of semen makes the medicine go down.
In the most delightful way. A personal trainer.
She puts the bang bang in chitty chitty.
Who is mom to Millicent, 9, and we got to put the kids' names in here, has previously, I'm not even going to do the other
Don't
one.
Don't do the other
Has
one.
Previously advocated using sperm as a facial ointment. On her bizarre beverage concoction, she said, quote, I've been feeling run down and had no energy, but now I'm full of beans and my mood has improved.
Look, this is what happens. You start experimenting with more, like you knew it would eventually come to this.
Yeah, but who, on what level are you like, you know what I think I'm going to try to do for this flu? I'm just going to have some semen.
Guys, it's time to beat this.
Well, you said I had sex with a girl that took semen and rubbed it on her face after that. I couldn't even believe what I was saying. And you just said that. She swore by it being good.
Are you serious?
I swear to God that happened.
It's good. She's like, this is good for
this
my skin?
Good for my skin.
What? Why do you think porn star skin is
porcelain?
Slows. Like porcelain.
Like porcelain.
No.
Yeah. Like a precious moment.
It though. Can taste really good depending on what my friend has been
That's
eating.
That's the part.
No.
My other mates think that I'm strange, but I don't give a toss. It seems somehow classier with her like English.
Say I don't
yes.
give a toss.
I don't give a toss.
Yeah. Tracy.
I take a toss. I'll take
I
a
give
toss.
A swallow.
Tracy, who is vegan, roped her 31-year-old single friend, I'm sure he was like, yeah, I'm in, into giving her
you
his semen.
Save my jizz.
He comes by her place with a fresh tub 3 times a week.
three times a week
with a fresh tub.
Is it free? Is he giving it to her for free? Is it a donation?
If you're filling up a tub 3 times a week, this better be your job.
Yeah. I mean, but a tub, again, we don't understand the British technology.
Tub could be a thimble. We don't know.
It could be, or it could be like a... It could be like a...
Is it a shot like wheatgrass?
No,
like how much of it do they put in the smoothie?
You know how like you have like a country crock
yeah.
spread?
Yeah.
This
That's
is like
tub.
Country yeah. cock.
A butter tub.
Country cock spread. Like he should come up with his own thing. Tub of it. Tub
yeah.
of it.
I'd be worried Tracy was going to use it and get herself pregnant with it. That'd be my big concern.
Ooh, wait till this. I know he's healthy, doesn't smoke, drink, or do drugs, and I made him have an STI check. When I first approached him, he was concerned I'd use it to impregnate myself.
Wow.
There you go,
still could do it.
By the way, still could do it. Once you give up the tub, you're giving
it's
up
out of
to
your,
God.
It's out of your hands.
Yeah, yeah, it's like, it's out of once your the hand. Tub is out of your hands.
Millions
of
Jesus, take tub. The tub. But once I convinced him it was for my beauty regimen, he agreed. After all, he has a regular supply at hand. That's a pun. Tracy, a qualified nutritional advisor, has been drinking it every day for the past month and stores it in the fridge alongside her groceries. That is...
Mommy, what's this?
No.
That's Kevin's plan right there. Give me the yogurt behind it.
What do you guys got in your fridge? I don't know. Some juice, some grape stuff.
Yogurt swishers.
Sunny D. Remember that Sunny D commercial where they're like opening and reading all the stuff?
I can't wait to get Kevin's cum. Kevin's cum.
Is that any good? It's okay.
Some yogurt squishers. We do have raspberries.
Oh, we do have raspberries.
Right behind Kevin's cum.
Where's Kevin's
cum?
Right behind Kevin's cum.
In the butter.
I'm sorry to interrupt. I'm sorry. I'm so glad the CVS is open. You guys have Kevin's cum.
Do you guys carry Kevin's cum?
You're gonna go just past Kevin's cum,
and then
right past there, you're gonna see the icy hot packs. That's what you're looking
right
for.
Right by the poncho stand, right there. Yeah.
You get to the state magnets, you've gone too far.
Back by the slippers. That's where the cheese is.
You know where they are? We moved them. You know what? We moved them.
Slippers.
They're on the end. They're on the end of the aisle next to the readers.
What I say?
Next to the readers.
Aisle 11, duct tape, Kevin's cum, sliced cheese, brooms.
11's where it's at, man.
You're going to go to 11 for that.
No, dustpans are on 12.
Why wouldn't dustpans be with broom? Not enough room. We have so much cum.
There's so much cum. Literally, tubs right on the other side.
I'm at the cum, but I need someone to come over with a key and unlock it.
They need
to slide the glass door open.
Can I help you?
Yeah, I need just one of the cum and the double. How many tubs of cum you need?
Do you need it right now, or can I meet you back there?
Get it. I need it for the whole week, so give me five and give me the replacement.
We only sell it by the tub. Is that okay?
Yeah, I'll take a tub and some Gillette replacement.
Do you sell it by the tube at all?
No, just the tub.
Drop the E.
She mixes the semen with fruit, seeds, coconut, or almond milk, but is also happy to drink it on
its
own.
That's all on aisle 9.
She's drinking on its own.
Every batch tastes different. If he's been drinking alcohol or eating something particularly pungent like asparagus, I ask him to give me a heads up so I know not to drink it neat.
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 No ice.
Things like pineapple and peppermint make it taste better, but I'll happily take it straight off a spoon.
Ew.
I feel like she's too into it.
Oh, my God.
She said sperm is an awesome product, and we should stop being so ridiculous about it.
I agree with that.
The health benefits.
I once heard that there's a sperm cookbook. I don't know if that was...
Oh, I believe it. After reading this, why wouldn't there be?
I really do think there is.
They said the health benefits have been well-researched, or she said, and more women and men should take advantage of it, particularly as it's made by our own bodies and doesn't contain E-numbers and chemicals. My body makes a lot of stuff I don't want to consume.
Yeah. I'd love to, if I were her friend... I would buy her a shot glass that just said the money shot. And she should write a book.
She's taking one of those every morning. Whoop.
And her pen name should be Sperma Bombeck.
Although she has been single for 3 years, Tracy hopes to find love in the future with someone who understands her lifestyle.
Doubt it.
I want to. Good luck finding a guy that's okay with you swallowing his semen.
Yeah, I'm really starting to.
It's going
to
be really hard for her to find
someone. Starting to have some feelings for you here, but I got to tell you.
I'm not drinking that.
I'm not okay with you drinking Kevin's cum.
When she is in a relationship, does she still get it?
She probably wants to save it.
Yeah.
She wants it by the tub.
But does she want it from her new lover? Or does it?
That's a great question.
What if he can't do it three times a week?
Yeah. I mean, what if?
Well, that's a deal breaker then. Now you know what her deal breaker is.
We're going to get out on such a beautiful thought. Quote, this is Tracy. Tracy Kiss. For some reason, I feel like that's what she said. I want a relationship where my partner asks if I want one shot or two shots of sperm in my smoothie each morning.
Mm-hmm. The money shot.
Good luck. Okay. Good luck, Tracy Kiss.
I like, you know what? By the way, she'll find that person because as our grandmother, Sally Applebaum, once said, every pot has a lid.
There's a lid for every pot.
There's a lid for every
tub. Every tub has a mouth.
Every tub has some cum in it. That's what our grandma Sally used to
say. There's a tub for every cum.
There's a tub for every cum. There's a pot for every lid. Yes. Lid for every pot. All right, before we get out of here, Just wanted to mention that it is award season.
It is.
Most people know the Golden Globes just happened. The Emmys are coming up.
The Emmys are in the fall.
Were the Emmys in the fall?
Yeah. I can never remember.
Oscars are coming up.
SAG Awards, when are the Spirit Obies? Awards.
When are the Tonys?
I'm not sure.
When are the Drama Desk Awards? Anyway, a lot of awards happening. And I really expected to see Nick Cage present.
In something? Present?
Maybe he was there. Maybe he was in character. I don't know.
At the Globes?
Yeah, well, he left a voicemail. Denzel from Fences.
Yeah, maybe he was, or maybe I had Olivia Spencer. I don't know.
He's probably presenting at the Spirit
Olivia
Awards.
Spencer? Octavia Spencer.
Both.
Playing both. So
Octavia Mund.
Yeah.
Spencer Gifts.
That's right. So I think he was there, but I'm not sure.
He left us a voicemail that'll straighten out what he's been doing.
Hey guys, it's me, Nicolas Cage. You know, a lot of people were telling me that they didn't see me at the Golden Globes, but I just want to tell all those people you can go fuck right off, because I was totally there. You know, I was hearing it on the Twitter sphere and the blogoverse, people saying that Nick Cage wasn't at the Golden Globes. Well, guess what, everybody? Nicolas Cage is always there. You just couldn't recognize me because I was in character. That's right. I've got a great, excellent makeup guy. He does all the makeup on the Tigers and the Siegfried and Roy show. But when that show went down, because again, I live in Las Vegas, when that show went down because one of the Tigers attacked one of the magicians, I took that Tiger's makeup artist, and he does all my own makeup. That's why he makes my hair look so good. And so when I heard that the Golden Globes were coming, I was like, I need to go in disguise because I'm going to be playing an amazing character later in life. I'm going to be playing Amy Adams in her life story. And so I had my makeup artist do me up like Amy Adams. So when you saw Amy Adams at the Golden Globes, that wasn't Amy Adams. It was me, Nicolas Cage. Yeah. Star of such movies as Ghost Rider, Spirit of Vengeance. So after I got all done up in my Amy Adams makeup, I also, of course, had them take 4 or 5 inches off my legs so I would look shorter, and I had them save those bones so I could put them back later so I could become back to my natural, normal strength. And I walked from Vegas because I wanted to make sure that I had the weathered feel of a woman who had been persecuted her entire life because of the glass ceilings put up in this country. Yeah, Nick Cage. And so I walked from Vegas in my high heels because I want to feel what it's like to walk in your shoes, Amy Adams. I want to know you, Amy Adams. I want to know you. So yeah, it was a pretty good night. Me and Justin Timberlake got fucking crazy smashed. I love that dude. It was me, Justin Timberlake, and Jeremy Renner on top of the Hotel Roosevelt smoking cigarettes and spitting on people. It was fucking amazing. So that's the plan for now. Coming up next, I have the Grammys. I'm going to be dressed as James Corden. Get ready for that, America. And then, of course, at the Oscars, who knows I'm going to be. But I'm also going to be sitting in for Lin-Manuel Miranda's replacement on Hamilton for 2 nights. So get ready. I don't know any of the songs. And guess who's not going to learn any of the songs? Me and Nick Cage. I don't need to be bothered to learn songs if I'm going to be doing Hamilton. Guess what? I'm just going to rap a song right now. Here we go. Check, check. It's me, Nick Cage, not Lin-Manuel Miranda's replacement on Hamilton. And I'm rapping, and it's America. Boom. Tony Award coming my way. All right. Fuck you.
Okay. I still don't even know if he was there or not. That clears up. Nothing. Even though it cleared it up completely, it clears up very
nothing.
Little.
Nothing.
All right. Episode 2 down.
Loved it.
In the books. Thank Sickler. You, Ryan Sickler,
thank
man.
Thank you guys for having me. This
love
great.
It, dude.
This
follow Ryan Sickler on Twitter, at Ryan Sickler. Follow and listen to the Crab Feast. Rate it. Give a review. Same with ours. Rate Dumb People Town on iTunes. Leave a review. 5 stars if you like it. And
tell 2 friends. Spread the word about our show. We want it to grow. We're so happy to be here at Feral Audio. And we'll see you next week.
Next week is going to be the live one that we did in Madison with Scott Rogowski. Great time. Hope you guys enjoy that and see how this show works live. Again, we're going to do it again at Moon Tower Comedy Festival in Austin. We'll have that one up for you guys. But we'll see you guys next week. And thanks for sending us the stories. Keep sending them in. We'll see you in Dumb People Town.
Dumb, 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 dumb.